You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Command Sharia. Today let's talk conditioning, specifically combat conditioning. Conditioning to be a fighter as an old school boxer, wrestler, combination man. For those not privy to the definition, that is someone who boxes equally as well as they wrestle. And it doesn't mean as a dual athlete in separate sports. It means you can do it as separate sports. It means they were the original mixed martial artist, throwing everything together, the original MMA. So you're not just shifting gears, knew how to fight, how to wrestle like a boxer, box like a wrestler. It's old school rough and tumble. And again, combat conditioning, this also goes for all of our conditioning. And we're looking at it through an old school lens. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the legs. And we're going to be using the phrase, ruggedness seated in the legs. This comes from Mark Berry's Physical Training Simplified, written in 1930. Now, I could have used many excerpts or many pieces of advice from some of these old schoolers, but I'm going to give you an extract from Mr. Berry's work that I really think dials in some areas. So we'll be coming back to this work throughout this particular episode. Let's begin with the long extract. Quote, here I am reading to you. Various brief expressions have been employed to denote the possession of an exceptional degree of strength in a man, such as his shoulders are broad, he has a powerful back, a man with such arms must be strong, and so on. These highly descriptive expressions more or less imply that the man of strength is to be judged by such rules as broad shoulders or a strong back or a muscular pair of arms. Granting the necessity of such physical factors, nevertheless speaking with a hearty regard for facts, it would be more befitting the truth to mention that the greatest physical feats of which man is capable are performed with the legs. This is true whether we refer to speed, endurance, quickness, or strength. Whatever the physical task you may mention, and even though the arms apparently do the work, it is in reality the power of the legs, though sometimes in combination with the back and the hips that put the punch into the effort. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I think we all see where he's getting at, where he's going. The legs are going to be the seat of the power, or in his lovely expression, ruggedness seated in the legs. So it's just not talking about can you squat heavy. Not at all. This is not exactly what he's talking about. A lot of these old schoolers just talking about repetitive going to the well, being able to do things well. We go back to what he's referring to, the power coming from the legs and the hips, putting so much into all sorts of effort. He says, back to Mr. Berry, this is entirely obvious to anyone so far as running is concerned, jumping, mountain climbing, skating, and bike riding is concerned. But it may not be quite so obvious in relation to boxing, baseball, football, wrestling, and tennis. However, consider the question seriously for a moment, and you will understand that the power for every arm and shoulder movement, which really counts in any of these games, starts from the toes. Try to stand absolutely still and make effective use of a baseball bat or a tennis racket, or try to put steam into throwing a baseball or delivering a punch. Then we'll realize the importance of the legs in all branches of athletics. The thigh muscles are the largest and most powerful in the human body, which is their chief reason. Unquote. We'll be going back to Mr. Berry again here in a moment. And again, I think his his offered experiment is so true. Let's imagine us with our particular sports. We're talking boxing and wrestling. Imagine standing in front of a heavy bag and we get you stock still and lock everything down and you're only working from the waist up. Again, and that's almost a cheat because we know the waist is going to be tied to the thighs, hips. Thighs, hips, all, and he mentions down to the toes. It's everything, man. The old school conditioning did not just think about, you know, squat heavy, as I was saying before. It was about anterior development of the thighs and hips, posterior development of the thighs and hips, and all that comes below it. This is just not calves and ankles. It's down to having certain elevations of individual toes in certain exercises that can change the entire chain of event. Like that old nursery rhyme song about the foot bone is connected to the ankle bone connected to the shin bone, and all up. Same thing with the musculature. There's really interestingly precise ways to do things to take something that may have low amount of weight or small weight, but I actually turn on the strength powerhouse without having to actually wreck yourself by constantly pursuing these higher poundages. But the power, or as he says, the ruggedness does come from the legs. Let's go back to Mr. Berry. If among your acquaintances there is a venerable citizen of 3 or 4 score whose early life was spent out in the open, who now moves about with a grace and agility that belies his years, engage him in conversation, and 10 chances to 1 he will tell you in a manner which, if boastful, is certainly excusable of the miles he could walk when a few years younger and of the hard work he was always accustomed to. Unquote. And I think, again, what he's referring to, a lot of us are here in the South call country boy strong, farm strong. Now, many of us, if we're fortunate enough to have grandfathers, I'm 58, so my grandfather, you know, he come up in the coal mining of Virginia. That's also where he learned his scuffling. And I'm sure many of you can have relate stories of people who, you know, life was hard work. And these people who, although they may have never saw a gym in their life, had some remarkable strength going on. And this is what we're talking about. And usually this is because they were out there all the time, walking, moving, dragging, sledding, hoeing, bending over, lifting, hoisting. Hell, if you pitch hay for a summer or every summer, this is going to happen. Let's go back to Mr. Berry. His legs were always used at hard work, walking, climbing, carrying, lifting, pulling, and hauling. You won't find many men of advanced years who looked and act younger than they really are, who are always used to sitting or standing still. That type of man is most likely to appear many years older than he actually is, having broken down with old age long before he naturally should. Unquote. I'm going to stop there and give you a little bit of a sidebar. Talking about, many of us know this, where people who have been active younger and stayed active, how remarkable resilience we can see, this ruggedness that we're, Mr. Berry discusses here. We had a tornado touch down here at my home, the Comanchery, in August, early August, say August 5th. And everyone's life and limb is fine, house is fine, but we have extensive forest around here. Man, it was an absolute mess, and I had lots of wonderful people step in with their time and to help out. And I am grateful to every single one of them. But I want to spotlight one because it calls to mind what I'm thinking of here. My uncle, or Ronnie Goins, we always called him Uncle Bud. Man, at that time, 80 years old, showed up chainsaw in hand. 80 years old. The man has been fighting cancer for going on a decade. He has a chemo port in his upper right collarbone. This man came out, and this he didn't work well for a man who has cancer. He didn't work well for a man who's 80. He worked just as well as everyone decades younger than he. His only concession was the fact, because of the chemo port, he could not start the chainsaw with his right hand. He would either do it offside pulling, or he would ask one of us younger bucks to do the pulling, and he was right back in on it. Guy never flagged. He was on top of it. And he's exactly what we're talking about. The guy had been on his feet his entire life as a contractor, farmhand, ranch hand, on and on. This is exactly the sort of thing we're talking about. Sure, we know our conditioning. We're eventually going to go. Something's going to get us, and likely in his case will be the cancer. But all along the way, nothing holding him back. Now, if he'd been someone sitting around, I know people who are far, far younger and with facing far less maladies who do not perform that well whatsoever. And I'm sure you guys have images of that in your own mind. Let's go back to Mr. Berry. A close relationship does indeed exist between good, solid underpinning, meaning the legs, and a spry old age. A man will keep pretty youthful and nimble as long as his legs hold out under him. It is a matter of sound reasoning that the better the condition of his leg muscles before he reaches advanced years, the better that will be when he gets up around the accepted time for man to become feeble and shaky. A man with a strong, capable pair of legs is more apt to possess a straight, supple back. It's rare to see a man with a straight back and erect carriage shuffling along with a feeble gait. It's doubtful if you will ever encounter such an individual. They simply don't belong together. The jumping ability of an individual has sometimes been used as a sign of the prospective length of life. This may not, of course, be exactly true in the strict sense of the word, but there is no denying the fact that the strong, springy leg should remain spry and nimble longer than the weak need variety. I will stop there again for a moment. A lot of this comes about via locomotion, just staying on the feet and being willing to walk, like we use around here in our unleaded program, old school warrior walking, which is the amalgamation of the indigenous ways of movement. If it sounds like, hey, walking, there's no big deal to it. Anyone who's been sampled has been kind enough to say, hey, man, this is a game changer, how things move. It leans you up, gives you a cardio base without you having to go for a run, you know, and you save those knees and those hips. It's also, don't have to do another burpee again in your life, because it's also obeying the wisdom what we're going to find here. Where if you want to engage the heart and lung system, the legs must be engaged. And if you got the warrior walking down, brother, you are good to go. And again, that's, again, the watchword, the correlate for so many things. We've got accounts and accounts and accounts of this warrior walking, this indigenous walking, this Apache lope. people in their 70s and 80s, they're covering up, 40, 45 miles a day. Well, this is under load as well. I want you to picture yourself doing that, or anyone older than you doing that. There is technique to everything, and some of us getting used to the hardness of it and the ruggedness of life. Back to Mr. Berry, regardless of age and years, as long as a man can get around over the ground with a firm, springy step, he's in reality not old. The possession of leg power will soon seem important when you understand the man with really powerful legs also has a really powerful back and a full, roomy chest of great capacity. When he says chest, he's talking about the lung power. Back to Mr. Berry, the man of this type will have a torso covered with firm muscles, as it naturally occurs because of the leaning effect of putting the legs to great use. Now, leaving Mr. Berry again for the moment, this isn't just like here a promo for warrior walking. It's a promo for making sure that we are using our legs. And if we want that broad capacity in the chest, again, they're not talking about building a chest. They're talking about, again, aerobic capacity. He's using a metaphor to hit that. And this comes down to so much of what we have come to think of as being training for MMA, for boxing, and for wrestling. We've underpinned it on such things is think, well, you're going to have to put in the road work and all this. Remember, the original road work was actually walking. This just is an indigenous way. It's early days. This is, John L. Sullivan, Benjamin Roller. So many people just, walking was the way to do this. We're not really seeing road work, as it were, take over big time till like 30s and 40s. Yes, there were people running prior to that, but not in the way that we're thinking of today. And we've done many podcast episodes and many episodes I touched this many times in our blog, the Indigenous Ability blog, where we're going, road work is not exactly what it used to be. Road work kind of starts rearing its head more and more when people didn't quit working as much. So road work was seen as a way to speed up. So if someone had a desk job, a sedentary job, or a layabout lifestyle, and you're going to go, I only go to gym 3 or 4 times a week. So the road work was a way to make up for what we hadn't done, and you really can't. Hadn't done for the rest of the week, where other people might be just moving around, meditating all the time. So road work was actually to hopefully cut corners and get somewhere faster, when in a sense, it was really just going, well, you don't do anything, so let's get this as fast as you can, because I only have you this long for training time. I can't make sure you're getting your walking in. So original road work, a lot more walking, realized, but let's just leave that aside. Let's talk about the ruggedness of the legs. It also comes back to the fact that if we're wanting to increase lung cardio capacity for the fight, for everyday life, we've got to make sure we're engaging these largest muscles of the body, which are the thighs and hips. And again, in unloaded conditioning, the thigh, hip, anterior and posterior chain, it's big on that. It's just not about the strengthening of the legs. Of course it is. It's tendon strength. It's ligament strength. It's bone strength. It's muscular strength, of course. But also the huge component of it is it goes hand in hand with the warrior walking, because we're engaging the largest musculature, and we know we're getting higher cardio output because of this greater facility. Who doesn't want that? You're doing your warrior walking and you're doing the training for your anterior thighs and posterior chain, man, you're cooking with gas. And we know we sometimes might be doing ourselves a disservice. Let's say if we go to, do some shadow boxing and think, well, I'm going to use this for cardio. Well, you and I both know that ain't going to do it. If you're huffing and puffing after shadow boxing or shadow wrestling, it's because you were likely out of condition to begin with. It's a great place to start. It might be a fine way to warm up a little bit. But after that, if you're thinking, oh, I can use this as cardio, I'm going to do three-minute rounds of this, wasting your time. Life is short, training time is finite. What we want to do is have things with resistance on it. We want floor bags. We want heavy bags. We want things to push against us. But if we're thinking, and even then, you're better off doing super slow-mo repetitions of that boxing combination to really get in that proprioceptive detail. And then if you want to bring the lung capacity up, intersperse that, for example. You could just grab an empty O-bar at 45 pounds or, more Haas-like, though it's 65 pounds. And it's just like standard front squats. We're talking ass to grass all the way down. Knock those out with some control. Just because you're hitting these largest muscular components, you're building that ruggedness, because you're not so much building strength at that point, because we're not trying to load the bar up. We're trying to get that heart-lung capacity going. You will be huffing and puffing off the squats, then right back into the shadow boxing, and that way you can get the best of both worlds. You're actually building the technique and building up the cardio output and ruggedness in the legs all in a great deal less time. You don't have to use that only example. We're here, the lesson is, what the old schoolers thought was, yes, we want leg strength, but we also know the key to the good cardiovascular, having the good chest, bottom, some people called it, was making sure that the legs were engaged and engaged in an efficient way. A lot of them were really opposed to running because they just thought, well, you're just trying to make up for things you didn't do before. Where we still don't maybe have all that time that some of these guys were throwing into it, but that's where the warrior walking comes in. Or try and think, anything you're doing now, you want to increase the cardiac output, you're going to want to make sure we're using the legs more. Let's get back to something else from Mr. Barry to help us really drive home that shadow boxing analogy. And I could have pulled this from many, many other texts, many other sources. But let's go with here. I think this is really interesting. He says, a simple, because he's kind of against people. He says, the example, the big advantage the barbell has over the fellow users of light exercise and gymnastics work. Yeah, he's a diss in body weight right there. Yes, body weight has its place, but he's talking about it's not the great strength builder once you're past a particular point. So he says, as a simple experiment to prove this contention, try waving your arms around a dozen times with a book or other light object in each hand, a 1 pound dumbbell, and then make a dozen repetitions of a deep knee bend and see which movement causes you to breathe deeper. And that's exactly it. We all know this immediately. That's back to that shadow boxing contention. If you're thinking, often we ignore leg work because we don't want to do all the squats and the front squats or all the lunges in the world because it's hard. It makes us breathe hard. But if you tell someone, go over there and shadow box for 3 or 4 rounds, people feel pretty good about that because, one, it looks like work. You're getting to move around. You're getting to be combative and doing the show of it. But the capacity never really goes up. Once you're past the beginner stages, you're probably not ever really getting winded from it. Yeah, sure, you may breathe a little bit more. You might be in zone 2, but you're not ever really going to get cooking beyond that. Where if we're allowing to get in these so-called deep knee bends, the front squat, all the other ways from unleaded that you can use to build up this ruggedness of the man, ruggedness of the woman, then it allows you to get to really hone in on technical work, whether making sure your technique is absolutely perfect. That way you're not training the punch and the grappling move where it's fatigued. You want to fatigue the muscles, increase your cardio ability, be able to handle this load, and still have precise and perfect technique. So we don't want to have show motions, shadowy motions, fake motions, just overweight mirror work, what have you. But this even goes for if you're not a combat athlete, you're wanting to increase cardiac output, you're going to have things that really put the legs on the burner. We're talking, that's where the walking comes in. Rowing machine, if you're only using a big push out of it. Those arm ergometers, not so much. But all these things will have their stop on them if you can only do them so long. Often there's only so many miles you can run, but the walking is almost persistent. You can always get there at a good clip. Many people are also surprised when they do our warrior walking program how quickly we're walking. I was having a conversation last week. Someone said, I said, on a treadmill, you're running at least 3.6 to 4 for the walking. And they said, I'm already walking a good clip. And they got on there and tested that and went, oh, well, shit, that's a different animal. I said, yeah, now take this outside and, you know, up and down and all. Anyway. He belabored that point. Main thing to get out of this from Mr. Barry's wisdom here is do you want to find that ruggedness in the body, the ruggedness in the legs? Well, then we want to definitely make sure that we are engaging the legs, and we could perhaps cut down on busy work of only mirror work and shadow boxing and use it for finite periods. But for the most part, you know, we, again, only so many training hours. Let's do things that stretch the heart and lungs via the legs and then get into our actual tactical portions of things and not assume that the tactical is giving us all the cardio we need. Anyway, there you go. Hope you enjoyed this, crew. If you did, please like, support, share the podcast, and all that other noise. I'm told the algorithm gods will smile on me and you both if you do. Have a good one. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musings.